My name is Eun Ki-jang. Let me introduce Don Fisher. Don Fisher is a lifelong teacher. He has taught in Bible College in Indonesia. In addition, he has been a teacher in government and Christian schools in four different countries. He has published books on Bible study method and taught non-formal courses in several countries. Currently, he is a founder of two friendship centers in Fresno County, where he teaches English and U.S. citizenship to Punjabis and other immigrants. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Don Fisher.
Okay, thank you. And this is going to be quite informal. They've got 10 different sessions running at this hour, and so... Yeah, but it will be recorded and stuff.
Oh, okay.
So let me find out a little bit about... Now, Alice, you work with the Gujaratis?
Right, Gujaratis.
Okay. And we know a little bit about you. And Trang?
Yes.
You are Vietnamese?
Yes.
Okay. But are you Generation 1.5 or Generation 2?
1.5 children of immigrants.
Yeah, do you still have your foot in both countries, both cultures?
I talk to my parents.
Okay.
Sometimes try to go to the Vietnamese church.
Okay.
So the in-between stage.
Yeah, 1.5. That's it.
1.5.
Yeah, that's the in-between stage.
English so flawlessly that, yeah.
Yeah.
Generation.
Yeah. Okay.
My parents get mad that when I was younger, they would get mad, like, why don't you
Yeah. Okay. And are you in any active ministry right now?
Right now I'm just doing court-appointed child advocate.
CASA.
CASA, yes.
Yep.
Oh.
Okay. Okay. And you live here in the Bay Area?
Yes.
What city?
This city.
Los Gatos?
San Jose.
Okay. I went to San Jose State. And Alan?
Alan Barnes.
Okay, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm pastor of a church in Watsonville, down in Santa Cruz.
Oh, all right.
I taught at Bethany College.
Okay.
We had students doing their student teaching at Watsonville High School, so I've been on campus there a number of times. Okay.
80% Hispanic
community.
Right.
Oh, definitely, definitely, definitely. Okay, well... And,
my name is Eun Ki-jang. I'm deacon in Korean Immanuel Church in San Jose.
Okay.
I'm working in the mission department in our church.
Okay.
Just planning for the mission strategy.
Excellent. And this is my wife, Nellie Fisher. You want to say anything about yourself, Nellie?
I'm helping him.
Yeah.
Teaching English. We have not only, we work with Punjabi mainly, but then we have people from Yemen, from Guatemala, from El Salvador, and Mexico, and Pakistan.
Yeah. We'll show some pictures. Okay. Let's start with prayer. I don't know if anybody else is going to wander in. So let's begin with prayer. Lord Jesus, we ask that you lead us and guide us in this session. Help us, Lord, to understand how citizenship and English classes can work out in your plan for reaching the nations. And just bless all the different workshops at this hour, we ask in your name. Amen. Okay, I assume we're recording. Anybody else comes in? And obviously this is a small group, so if you have any questions, just go ahead and interrupt me. I mean, don't worry about waiting till the end, and I don't think that my talk is going to take all of the time, so we have plenty of time for discussion. Okay, how's Alan? How's that? Is it okay for you there? Okay, everybody can see well? Yeah, I've got my little one over here. Hmm?
You want the light off?
No, it's okay. It's okay with me. Okay, I live in, my wife and I live in Fresno, California. And you think Fresno, California, that's a small place. It's only 500,000 people with Fresno and Clovis. Not much else. But in our schools, we have 70 different languages in Fresno.
Wow.
You can't believe that, can you? 70 different languages. Obviously, the most prominent one is Spanish. Not just Mexico, but other Hispanics. And this is Ophelia, who got her citizenship last month, came to our classes. Yeah, you can leave the door open, that's okay. Welcome. We did a little bit of introductions a minute ago. Okay. Thank you for joining us. And
I'm the late Roland Wells.
Okay, the late. And where do you minister, sir?
Minneapolis.
Oh, boy.
Many are told that you are frozen.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, we're from Fresno. And we have Fresno, California is a small town. Really basically only one suburb, that's Clovis, and only 500,000 people. But we have 70 different languages there. And obviously, I think about 40% of the people in our county speak Spanish either as a first or either as a first language or as an alternative language or as the only language. We also have a large number of Punjabis. This is Avtar, who's a priest at one of the temples. And he's got his citizenship test coming up. It's been a very busy time with Vaisakhi. Do you have Vaisakhi?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Vaisakhi's just passed, and so maybe we'll see him again. We haven't seen him for a while. We now have more Punjabis than Hmongs.
Really?
In Fresno.
Yeah.
So the Punjabis are starting to surpass the Southeast Asians in our area. And Larry Stuckey, the guy that did the presentation this morning, has discovered that. Larry and his wife, Dana, worked with us for a while, so we know them.
Are the Punjabis refugees, or are they...
No.
No.
They are landowners.
Yeah.
And they buy land. They move from apartments to houses, and they also have businesses, too.
And
gas stations.
Owned by Punjabi.
But the real draw is land, because Fresno is much like the Punjab. And we have Punjabis from both India and from Pakistan. We work mainly with the Indian Punjabis. And go ahead, by the way, this presentation is not formal, so please go ahead and interrupt. We also have other groups. This is, we have a lot of Yemeni Arabs in our area too. Yeah. And like I say, you imagine Fresno, it's a little, you know, we don't even have an interstate in Fresno, okay? That's how small it is, only 500,000 people. Highway 99, but 70 different languages in our schools. Welcome, welcome, welcome. But the people don't come. They come because land is fairly cheap, farmland.
Yeah.
And the Punjabis that come to our area are land owners, not just farmers. And they are the high caste, Jat castes. Yeah. And Brigitte.
Brigetta,
thank you.
Is this
the citizenship? Yes, 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 yes. No, I just, we kind of start on time, but I knew people be drifting in. This is the first slide. So you haven't, all you missed was the cover slide. And a little bit of introductions. And where are you from, Brigetta?
Atlanta.
Atlanta. Now there's a Punjabi church in Atlanta. What?
George Baptist Convention, my husband.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, welcome.
Southern Baptist.
Anyway, we're from a small town in California, Fresno, California. And they used to say 100 languages. I got on the school website and I could count 70 different languages in the school. The most prominent one, of course, is Spanish. Punjabi is in the top 5, I think. And Arabic is in the top 10. Which you don't think about, but people gravitate toward areas where it's like their homeland. You know, Minnesota is the land of the Swedes and the Norwegians.
And 218 other languages.
Right.
250,000 Latinos, 75,000 Somalis, 85,000 Hmongers are temporary.
Wow.
836,000 immigrants.
Wow. Okay. My goodness. Okay. But I think we saw that wonderful presentation this morning about how the world is coming to us, and certainly in all areas, even where we come from. And the question is, how desperate are you really to reach out to others? This is my wife with the young lady we've known. Because the people that are left are the hard-to-reach people. I mean, the Gujaratis are known to be tough people. I don't know about the Somalis. But the reason they're hard to reach is pretty obvious. If they were easy, they would already have been reached. And the question is, how much is your motivation, your church, your convention? You know, and that's a tough one. We've got a church down the road from us, about half an hour down the road in a little city. They are ready to start classes. The elders have agreed. They've got space. They don't have people. I said, see if you can get somebody to agree to do a class until June. My wife and I'll come. We'll help you a little bit. They still don't have people. That's the biggest problem. You folks here are what we call the choir, right? You're the ones that are committed. But as you know, pastoring a church, what is it, 10% of the people do 90% of the work? And I remember going to one pastor, and he says, nope, we can't help you. Everybody's already overcommitted. Well, that's really not true. That's really not true. There are people, but we need to get the connection. The Holy Spirit's got to reach out and touch them and move them, because this is the main problem. Doing citizenship is easy if you have people that are motivated. And I'll talk a little bit about the nuts and bolts, and I brought some examples, all kinds of things. Obviously, there are linguistic barriers. And Tron, you mentioned just in your own house. And, you know, we tried to learn Punjabi. We got Mr. Singh from the liquor store because he was a retired teacher from India. Mr. Singh was a wonderful man. He was a terrible teacher. You know, his methods just did not work with us. My wife would ask him things and he just, you don't need that. You don't. And he's still a friend, but the classes fell apart.
I managed to memorize that first, but I...
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I'll tell you about mine.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah. But anyway, there are linguistic barriers. And, you know, crossing over to another culture, there are also barriers of ethnocentrism. The people we work with believe that they are the top of the heap. They're Jats, which means they're the rulers. They expect to rule. They expect to be the mayor. They expect to be governors. Do you know we already have 2 Punjabi governors in the United States? Yeah. Nikki Randhawa Haley and Bobby Jindal. They're both Punjabi. There are 2 Punjabis running for Congress.
And are they, and they're Jat?
Most of the people we know are Jat. Some are. That's another problem. But we know a man who came from a very bad background, you know, broken home, all this kind of stuff. He became a Christian. When he married a white girl, his family was just very, very unhappy. Some of them were ashamed, some of them were unhappy. How could he go and marry below his caste? How could he go and marry somebody else? So we've got a lot of barriers there. And then the other one is long-term commitment. You know, we live in a land of instant everything, right? And this young lady here, we've known now for 4 years. We still haven't quite made the connection with her. She has a lot of problems. I saw her last week. I told her to phone. She can't quite get to make that phone call. Long-term commitment. Yeah, my wife gave her a driver's license. Yeah, okay. I mean, look at the body language. She loves my wife. The friendship's going to be tested. And this is the thing. A lot of church people are not ready to go and work for 3 or 4 years and not see the fruit. I mean, you know, we love to hear those stories about Amina, right? That's the second story I've heard of this story about Amina. We happen to be the driver for Miriam, so we... yeah. We're transportation if you need to go somewhere. Anyway, but how many years did it take Amina to come to the Lord? Years. Yeah. Two major weapons, love and prayer. Love and prayer. And by the way, if you want me to send you a copy of this presentation, I can do that. I can strip off the pictures because it's like 25 megabytes with all the pictures. I took them on high resolution. I didn't mean to do that, but yeah. But those are our weapons, basically. Love them and pray. We went to the Ethnic America 2 years ago, back in Spartanburg, I believe it was. And Wilson Coppola was there, and T.V. Thomas, they're both here. And unfortunately, they're both giving sessions in the next breakout. We sat with them and a lot of other workers, Indian workers, and we said, what method works? What method works? And out of this 25 or 30 people there, they came up with love. And we're going, duh, you know, did we have to go all the way back there and meet all these fantastic workers to find out that love is a way to touch people, and prayer, of course. Speaking of prayer, if you'd like, this is Pioneers puts out a prayer guide for the Sikhs. I've got a few extra ones. If you're interested, I've got 3 copies. First come, first serve. So if you're interested, it's the Sikhs in India, but it's a great prayer guide, and they have other prayer guides. Okay, we have a friendship center. The first thing is, it's non-formal education. Now you look at it and you say, what do you mean non-formal? Here's a teacher, these people are lined up, they're obviously the students. It looks formal, but it's not. Because our goal is basically friendship, building friendship bridges, talking about the gospel, and in the citizenship cases, to get them to pass their citizenship classes. And this is a good week. We had 2 people pass, one on Monday, one on Tuesday. And so we're very, very happy. Especially the one on Monday, that was his 4th try for the citizenship test, and he's been with us for 4 years. And we told them they don't understand you because you drink too much alcohol. You know. And the lady, or actually he was on Tuesday, the lady that passed on Monday is one who, it was her 2nd time. She also flunked the English speaking part, which is informal. Anyway, our goal is friendship. Our goal is building bridges, pre-evangelism. We had lunch with a friend last month, and he called us pre-missionaries. And I said, he prayed for us. I thought, this is an interesting word. Because we've got to be very flexible. These people show up on their time. I mean, sometimes they do their puja, and they show up a half hour late every time. Sometimes they've worked a night shift, and they miss days. They, you know, typically will start a class with one person on time and finish with, you know, eight. I mean, life is different. Also, we have no beginning, we have no end. We do follow the school term so we can get some vacations. But our adult school, you know, tests everybody's English, and you got to start on this day when the adult school starts. No, they come in with us. You going to join us, brother? Okay. They come in. I've got my test in 3 weeks. Can you get me ready for my citizenship test? Well, no, we do 4 days a week, so we do what we can. Other people, we had one lady with us for about 3 or 4 months, and finally I said, Jess Winder, it's time to make your application. You're ready for the test. Really? Yeah, and she passed flying colors. Yeah. Sometimes they bring their kids. I mean, I've done child care so that another person can teach. Yes. Good question. We have two centers. One we run, Wilson told us, run it late morning.
Okay, right.
It's a great time for housewives and for grandparents. Right. Everybody's off to school, and so we run ours 8:30 to 10:30 in the morning, and then the next city over, 15 miles away, came and demanded. And so we tried different times out there. Eventually we settled on 1:30 to 3:30 out there, which also works well for ladies, except sometimes they have to leave and get the kids, pick the kids up from school. And then they bring the kids, and the kids will sit and do homework and stuff.
Sometimes we have three kids.
No, yeah. Older kids are okay, but we get infants, all kinds, toddlers, and we basically tell them, if you can keep them quiet, would be nice. But you know, sometimes there's grandma at home that can watch the kids. There is a need for evening classes. We're just stretched too thin. We could pick up more if we could do some evening classes. And again, we have another church in our area that said, you know, you want space? We got space. We'll get to that in a minute. Yes. Okay. But it's non-formal education. The only thing formal is the citizenship test. And we get everybody from people that cannot write their name to people that have postgraduate degrees. And they all kind of come in. You going to join us?
I will, thank you.
Okay.
For being late.
Okay. No problem. We run friendship centers, and we do these classes. They are non-formal. Sometimes people that are trained teachers have a little bit of trouble getting used to it. Both my wife and I are trained teachers, and it takes a while to change our mentality. Let's see. Again, prayer is key. Prayer is key. This is one of the early prayer meetings we had as we were opening up. I started with an email list of 100 names. I now have 300 people. And I do not send out that monthly prayer letter. I mean, when we were field missionaries, we did that. I decided just to send out a short prayer letter when I have a need. You know, somebody's got a citizenship test, pray for Dilip. You know, he's got his test coming. And then when he passes, delete passed. Or delete didn't make it this time. You know. And I also discovered my own sister, who has some advanced doctor's degrees, doesn't even read my prayer letter. Uh-huh. And she's ordained in the Presbyterian Church too. And I thought, if she doesn't read it, so I include some big pictures and a few captions, because you know, prayer is so important. Yeah. Yeah. Prayer is key. Before we opened a center, and 4 months later it fell apart. So this is our second go round. Yeah. Nobody ever tells you about the things that failed, right? All the things that went wrong. So we tried to do a few things differently. One of the good things was I retired from my full-time secular employment, went part-time, and in that I was able to get flexible hours. And so that's been important. But also, by praying, before we opened our doors, our first teacher was already there. She came from another church, another city, and she was with us for 2 years. And she recruited another lady who's been with us for 4 years. And we've discovered when God puts a call on their lives, they just come. Now, one lady said, I saw that announcement in our bulletin. It was like there was a laser right there. And she's been with us, what, 2 years now? Three? Going on three? I mean, they stay. The other people, no, it's not for me. Or they'll come once and they'll say, nope. Or he gives us a big hoopla, and usually they don't even come back a second time. We had people, I got fibromyalgia, my doctor won't let me come, this, that, and the other. I mean, they either are or they aren't, which is really strange. And a lot of people that have helped us have gone on to become missionaries. So we've got a couple that have graduated to become missionaries. But prayer, very important.
So is that like, you said 8:30 to 10:30 you've got a class. So does that mean at 7:30 in the morning you're praying?
No. This was a separate one.
Yeah, the problem.
We don't have a regular prayer group as such. But I do send out these prayer bulletins.
So this is a separate time when you're praying about this.
And the people will write back. Okay. I'm praying for Dilip. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, what happened to Dilip? I prayed for him. That's the exciting thing, because, you know, you just hit reply and boom, comes back. Because prayer is the power for ministry.
Right.
I mean, you know, we heard all about prayer last night. There's no way we can get through those barriers without prayer. Okay, teachers, and this is my wife. And this is a gentleman who has special needs. He's got epilepsy, mentally retarded, and he loves to come to our classes because it's non-formal. And he has a sweet spirit about him. Bless his heart. Again, we've got to pray that God will send workers. Once we have willing workers, the rest is easy. The rest is easy. And in terms of training, we do use an English curriculum, which I'm going to come to in a minute. And he will come and do training. There's, 10 or 15 pages in one of the books. I've got the books right here. You can look at them.
Don.
Yeah, you know Don?
Yep.
How do you know all these people? There's too many connections. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, we need people who love people. The mechanics of learning to teach ESL, not too hard. If people feel bad, they can kind of understudy with us. We had one lady that had training with the Southern Baptists. The Southern Baptists have a great training program. I've been through it. and they have a whole ESL component. Yeah.
We still get the email from last conference.
Oh,
South Carolina.
Yeah. Oh, South Carolina.
Well, also, do you know Rich Johnstone in this area? I don't know what happened to Rich, but he stuck me on the mailing list, so I'm part of the Mid Valley Baptist Association. I get it all. You know about Mid Valley, okay? Right. Anyway, Southern Baptists have training. Don Edick will come for plane ticket and food, do training. This is the book we use, and it's three volumes, today, yesterday, and tomorrow. I don't think he's even got the copyright done on some of these things. He prints these on demand for us. $5 a book, here's his email. So I just email him and say, Don, send me, 10 books. He says, okay, $50. And he picks up the cost, and they're not the greatest books. You got a supplement, but they have this section called Things to Think About, where they basically story the whole Bible. If you do all the whole 3 years, it's all, or the whole three books, they story the Bible. I showed it to some ladies in a place called Pumpkin Center. Anybody ever heard of Pumpkin Center? You, okay. Right, south of Bakersfield. And I got dragged in there by the Jesus film lady who was doing a seminar there. She knew me, so we went down to Pumpkin Center. And it's the middle of nowhere. I mean, Bakersfield's bad enough, but this is the southern edge of Bakersfield. They have 5 Sikh temples there. Yes, Pumpkin Center, 5 Sikh temples, not all in town, but that area. And they had in this tiny little church a retired ESL professor and 4 ESL teachers. And they said, we want to do ESL to reach the Punjabis in our area. They looked at this book and I said, well, you know what, it needs supplementing. And they said, yeah, we supplement all the time. They started with 2, and they're just going, oh, is it going to make it? Last, they were up to 5 or 7. Yeah. So, this is Don's personal email. He's retired, if you could ever be retired in Christian service. There's a whole thing by Literacy Evangelism, which was his organization before. This is his personal thing, so you can't get it through them. And $5 works really well. We started charging. At first we gave them away free, but then we're always having to look for money or use some of our tithe. But now we charge it, and they love it. Yeah, sure, $5, I can afford that. Yeah. Yeah. There are other materials out there. The Southern Baptists in our area use commercial materials and then have a sort of an advertisement during break time. They have a break time where they have somebody give a testimony. So that's the way, it's a little bit different method, but works well too. First citizenship. When somebody applies for citizenship, they will get this book, and it contains the 100 questions, 100 civics questions. It contains the reading vocabulary, the writing vocabulary. Also, there's a CD on the back. You can go on uscis.gov/citizenship. They've got materials there. USCIS, that's United States Citizen Information Immigration Services.
Will they send you that back even if you're not applying?
You can download this book. You can buy the cards, the 100 cards, so it's got the question on one side, on the back, And so these are nice ones. The first ones I downloaded. The church where we are, we walked into this Assembly of God church and said, "Hi, I'm Don Fisher. I understand you're Brad Graham's." And we built a relationship there, and we've been there 4 years. And they photocopy for us free. They laminated. Yeah. Yeah. These are easier. They cost $8 if you order them.
For all 100.
But let me give you some clues, okay? If you register as a literacy on the literacy website, they will send you a toolkit. This puppy costs about $40 or $50. I mean, if your church wants to come up with it, it will. It contains cards, it contains the booklet, other things, English, Spanish. I've got here, Welcome to the United States, all kinds of little things. And if you go to the training, they offer training. If you get on their website, they offer training. My wife and I have been several times, so many times that now when I see Donna, she gives me a big hug. Donna Vanderhoff, she is the one that produces stuff. There's materials there for beginners, for intermediates.
And lesson plans.
Lesson plans.
All the lesson plans now, they're excellent.
Yeah. So, Brenda, I'm making it, so the U.S. government train people to be trainers?
Yes.
Or teachers, yes.
Teachers train people to teach citizens.
Right. Yes.
Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Materials for beginners and beginning teachers or beginning learners?
Beginning learners are for... Yes, we have some troubles with some, but like I say, we put everybody together and we use kind of this, you know, if you don't know, help each other, please. And if they want to talk in their own language, that's okay. I try and mix them up a little bit, but it's nice if, you know, if the person next to me speaks my home language. Yesterday I had a Pakistani, a Salvadoran, and an Indian teaching citizenship, and the Pakistani kept asking the Indian questions across the Salvadoran, but you know, because her English wasn't quite good enough. But yeah, so we encourage cooperation, and sometimes they'll say cheating, and I say no, this is a different kind of school. But yeah, the government will, if you get on this website, look up training, and they will tell you where there's training, and you can find training in your area or close by. I've done training in San Jose, Fresno, and LA. We've been to LA a couple times. I missed some training in San Francisco. They actually had training on how to set up one of these things. And somewhere there's materials on how to start one of these. Plus, now I'm on the mailing list, so I get invitations to the stakeholders meetings. Do you get those? Oh. Okay. Right. Our representative comes from Sacramento. She comes down to Fresno, and they have stakeholders meetings where they just ask you about things. For instance, the new N-400 form. I was able to comment on that. I said, give me a break. You're going from 11 to 21 pages.
Yeah.
Anyway, they didn't pay attention, but at least I commented.
Yeah.
So, there are a lot of materials out there. And if you've got an immigration office near you, now, where are you located, Alan?
Watsonville.
San Jose office, yeah. And Tran, you'd be here in the San Francisco office. And I guess Minneapolis and Atlanta. Where are you from, Thomas?
Santa Rosa, California. White country.
You probably would be either San Francisco or Sacramento office.
Don't have anything in Santa Rosa.
I don't know. In Fresno, all we have is what they call a field office.
Yeah.
So.
That's in San Francisco.
Yeah, they come around to Fresno, and you get to meet everybody. I mean. Yeah.
They don't care if you're a church or you represent
a... Oh, no problem. Listen, when I go to those stakeholders meetings, do you know who is working with immigrants in our area? The Catholics and the Mennonites. And that's all. And me. I'm mom and pop.
So it's all church-related anyway. That's what they used to
see. Well, no, they've got a lot like, you know, La Raza and Unida and outfits like that, all these homegrown outfits. But the Catholics do such a good job that the immigration people have actually asked in a meeting, you know, excuse me, Father so-and-so, can you clarify this point? There's also training if you want to become an immigration advocate, what they call a board certified training, where you become like a paralegal for immigration issues. None of our people have gone that far.
I started the training.
You started it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is very complicated, but it's good stuff.
It's good stuff, and it gives you priorities when you phone immigration.
That's right.
And it gives you all kinds of privileges. But, okay, yeah.
So what I was going to ask is, you mentioned about an Assembly of God church. Mm-hmm. So is that your location?
Yeah, we have Assembly of God and Southern Baptist, and we're members of an independent church.
Right, but that's where you're
yeah.
congregating, and that's not a problem holding it in a church.
Oh no,
and getting
we had our rep come down, and she said, "Give me somebody that can translate into your language," and we found a guy that could translate, Gurdeep's son, and she made a presentation. So there. Immigration is very interested in having community groups, and they don't worry if you're faith-based or not. Yeah.
Do they put any limits, as it says, citizenship class on what you can and can't say about faith?
Right.
No. Now, let me qualify that. No, because, I mean, we start with prayer. We do prayer requests. I mean, you know, the whole bit. But if you get a grant, then you've got strings. Now, we met a gal in L.A., and the grant funded their whole center for like 2 or 3 years. They all went back to Washington, D.C. for training, but they had to be board certified, which meant that they were immigration paralegals. They had to have a board. We're just a mom-and-pop network. They had to have a board, you know, a real NGO. Set up. Okay. You can also get a lot of materials off my website, uscitizenshipteachers.org, including PowerPoints. And there's a lot of stuff there.
Sorry, can I just...
Yeah.
The West McKinley
Friendship Center,
is that in the Assemblies of God Church also, or is that a separate place?
We're just there at the church.
The
we just
all in that church. Right?
Yeah, but we also have the Kerman Friendship Center.
Yeah. Right, you mentioned there's
two. Yeah. And
actually, we have a different room away from the sanctuary.
Right.
At first, we just met in the front of the Spanish church, and then their preschool went belly up because they were subsidizing it too much, so they gave us the preschool rooms.
Oh.
So we use two rooms now. And
so you are the Friendship Center.
We are the Friendship Center. I've got the keys to two churches and the alarm code, if I could remember it. but yeah, and so the church has basically subsidized us in terms of electricity and the photocopies.
Right.
And they got a photocopy machine that'll do color photocopies for about 3 cents a copy.
Wow.
And they give us our own code and away we go. I mean, it took a while, but there are a lot of commercial materials. I've got a McGraw-Hill book here called Citizenship Now. Catholics have a good... I don't have it. Yeah, that's a good one. And the Catholics have an excellent one out too, which I need to buy. But because our people we don't do, you know, today we're going to start here with a new class and we're going to finish here. We're continuous intake and graduation. So we did some of this stuff for a while. We'd read a lesson together and work the exercises. It's a whole different way. Non-formal, Thomas. We talked a little bit about that. And it's a different way of thinking and doing. And parallel, we also have English classes running. My wife does most of the English, or a lot of the English teaching, but we have other people teaching English. And so she uses these materials and supplements it herself too. Well, we've
got another teacher, but she can only come one time.
Yeah.
One day.
Yeah, there was a while where we didn't have Punjabis at one place, and so I'm sitting there with Rawiya, who can't even write her name in Arabic. And so, you know, go to the dollar store and buy flashcards and things and download stuff off YouTube, you know. A is for apple. Apple, you know, I mean, whatever works. And we try and keep it, you know, happy, friendly. They like hokey poka, you know. Primary school teachers work really well. You know, you put your right foot in, you put your right foot out. Yeah, and
I do jumping jack also.
Yeah.
25 jumping jack.
Because there needs to be enough entertainment so that they'll come back. I mean, the other day I'm sitting and I've got some people, one lady that really knows her 100 questions. She's about ready for the test. Another lady that really can't speak English. Another man who's kind of poor. I mean, it was just all over the spectrum. And then one lady that has a degree in computers from India. And so what are we going to do now? So we did a few things, and so we're going to play concentration. You know, where I've got all these little pieces of paper. And I've got like Veterans Day, and I've got November. So it's not Veterans Day and Veterans Day. They got to find November. And we played that. Oh, they love it. Because now the playing field's a little bit different. And of course, I'm coaching them. You know, oh, you got Martin Luther King Day. That's January. Where's January? Do you remember January? That kind of thing. Yeah. And you can get... it's on my website. I've got all kinds of funny little things. And... my email's in the program, and I'll give my email here too. Okay. Yeah.
So you've got the English classes going separately from the physical lobby.
Yeah.
Because they have to know English. You have to study for the physical.
Yeah, but they come in thinking, I can do the alphabet, now teach me.
Right. Yeah. The Spanish part is that some of the Punjabi specifically would say,
yeah, the going rate in our area for corruption is now about $1,500.
Oh.
Corruption?
Yeah. You mean
corruption? No, corruption.
Like paying somebody to go and cross clear roads or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Or, well, doctors, now they're getting scared, but we have one guy that paid $1,800 to a doctor to certify that he was mentally incompetent. So we've got that. We've also got a corruption pipeline that we haven't been able to get yet, but corruption. Somebody had her test at 7 in the morning and her swearing in at 9 o'clock the same day.
The office doesn't even open until 8 o'clock. How could she be there at 7 o'clock to get the test?
Somebody in the government office is being crooked.
Yep.
Yeah.
There is a fraud division. I've talked to the fraud guy. The Indians are very good at fraud, excuse me. Sorry I said that, but... And some of our other ethnic groups, too, we still don't know how... what's her name got her citizenship? Not Indian. Anyway, yeah.
She had a party yesterday.
Anyway, let's move on. In addition, we do the Jesus film. And they're right down the hall. And they have, for our area, this is South Asia. If you know any South Asians, I've got some extras. You can have them. They have them here. They've got packages for Southeast Asia. They got packages for students. They got packages for the Middle East. And you can get these subsidized. I paid for 200 plus shipping, and they sent me 800. Wow. Yeah. Talk to Vince. Here. Anybody else? You want to look at them? You got Gujarati too. Yeah, just pass it back there. Let me see. Yeah. That's okay.
I already went to the table.
You already went to the table. Okay. Tran, you want to see one? There you go. Yeah. Pass it on to your Indian friends or give it back to me. Whichever. By the way, I've got a couple of packets from the immigration people because when they did their training, I said, are you going to have to carry all these packets now back to Washington? I said, could I take a few for my friends? Please, Don. So if you're interested in some packets, I got these two.
You mean, are they like directions?
No, this is the training they gave us. This is all their notes and different little... Notes from the training, things you can try out. Yeah. Yeah, I look like Thomas and Brigitte.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to get those. You guys are shaking your heads. Anyway. Also, we get easy reading Bibles. And they have them in Gujarati also. And these we get, it's now called the Bible League, or it used to be called WBTC, but they've switched their name.
Oh,
yeah. And you can also get from the Bible societies, this is easy reading Hindi, easy reading Punjabi. You can also order directly from the Bible societies, but these easy reading Bibles are great because they read like a newspaper. Yeah.
When we look at the acculturation curve and people coming here,
yeah,
there's a point where for sure in culture shock, and then there's a very steep learning curve.
Yeah.
Some English, how to buy a chicken, how to walk on ice, how to dry it.
Yeah, how to walk on ice.
What all those porcelain things are in the funny room. There's just 10,000 things just to be able to exist.
Sure.
And then at some point, and also you're going through culture shock and you're going through an identity realignment. If you're who you are, especially refugee people, but all people.
Sure.
Us, if we went to a different country too.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, they turn a corner and they become, the learning curve becomes less steep. And in fact, there's some magic point where these are people that you do ministry to.
Mm-hmm.
And with language acquisition, identity, being able to get outside themselves more, there's a point where they become people who you do ministry with. Where do you fall on that, and what do you find as far as, like, where is that point of opening where you can actually begin to befriend and have relationships, invite to your home, and they'll be able to get out of themselves and away from kind of almost a panic mode of somebody trapped in a car filled with water?
That is an excellent question. I'm not sure we can answer that. But just the fact that you ask it means you're becoming sensitive to all the different issues.
That's my workshop tomorrow.
Okay, that's your workshop tomorrow. Okay. Yeah. And the group we work with, first of all, are not refugees. Refugees have a different mindset from the immigrants. Also, we work with a lot of undocumented in Kerman because we, you know, they come into us and they also have a different mindset. Yeah, which is outside Fresno. There's different degrees of openness. Also, personalities have to match. We had one gal stay overnight with us. The family wanted her to live with us so she could learn English. And she was absolutely petrified to eat because she's a vegetarian. And we had a nice cheese pizza at the pizza parlor, but I don't think she ate any food at our house. And my wife had to tell her, you know, how to get in the sheets and everything. We can have a spare room. But there are a lot of barriers there. And I'm not sure that we've gotten through all the barriers. The other thing is, we have, in our particular area, we have, some of these cultures have brought everything with them. And they're so strong. I mean, last weekend, we had at least 10,000 people in Carruthers, which is 15 miles south of us, at a celebration of Vaisakhi. And the week before, the 10,000 were in Selma. And I went there a couple of years ago. And it's like they're colonizing us type thing. They bring their groceries, they bring their sports, they bring not just their restaurants, they bring their music, they bring their cultural... it's like a whole other civilization is being transplanted here. So you face a lot of different pressures. I'm going to talk about some of the other groups, but we've had also Mixtecos, Zapotecos, Yemenis come to us, and these are all unreached people groups. And they all have different sets of problems, expectations, and support groups. Now, I didn't answer your question yet, but...
Is there any component of this where you would intentionally try to build relationships, or you're trying to build relationships,
sure.
Or is it more formal?
No, we're always trying to build relationships. And what they'll do is, it'll start with, can you help me fill out this thing? Or, I got this letter, what does it mean? And sometimes we get, Monday I've got to go to Social Security with the family, and you know, we get involved in those ways.
A lady had a cancer, so I took her to the hospital.
And well, you took her to the doctor.
I took her to the doctor, and then the doctor just said, well, she has to be operated right away. So I
loud.
Took her to the operation room, and I signed up as a family member for her. Belongings at the time. Oh. That stayed with her until after she recovered.
Post-recovery, yeah.
Wow. So therefore, basically all that. From 8 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock at night. But something like that, it would continue to...
Take her to chemotherapy and post-cancer appointments. She had no family that could speak English except one uncle, and he didn't come. And her father is just... He smiles, he's a nice old gentleman. But yeah, we try and build bridges. One of our problems that I see in our is we need people to go across those bridges. You know, we've got a great track record in citizenship, but not that much in terms of friendship. Mm-hmm. We need some people to come alongside and help us.
Mostly they're interested in getting their citizenship and then after that.
They're gone.
They have memorized all the answers, even though they cannot understand the question. Because when there's a test for writing and reading, and I took one for her test, and she failed. And so I asked the exam principal, what question did you ask and she didn't answer? And she said, well, I just asked her about her birthday, and I rephrased the question. She still didn't. And she begged. I answer.
Well, and you know what? That issue came up yesterday. It's still about which is her last name, which is her first name. So I just told her, I said, look, you bring me your passport, your driver's license, your green card, and your application form. because it's all there and it's all in order, but she got confused about which name went where.
Oh, wow.
So, and it came up yesterday.
The application is as much as teaching the civics because those applications are there. And the officers sit there and go through this application with you. And you fill out, and they will ask you questions about it. You better know what you put down, and you have to understand the legalese in that.
Yeah.
And the words they use are archaic.
Are there deportation, rescission,
right.
or...
Yeah.
Do you abjure and renounce all fidelity? Yeah. We don't do too much on that, but it depends. Our Mexican people are very good at speaking and very poor at memorizing, whereas our Indians are very good at memorizing but very poor at speaking. So anyway, life is different. Okay, we do have a little literature table we put out, and most of our people do not pick anything up. We have found it's the 1.5 generation. It's the kids. And this happened the other day. Mama passed her examination, and the young guy drove it, Rakshma's son, and he looks down and, oh, this is interesting. New Life Testament, you know, the one that's in 800 words. So he picked one up, 800 word vocabulary, New Testament. I don't have it. Yeah, there it is. It's right there. Anyway, he picked one up. Yeah. Okay. Not only are they from a literate culture, but their gurus invented their alphabet. And that's another thing. Because this is Hindi. And this is Punjabi. Similar, but different. And Gujarati is another alphabet. Yeah. No, their gurus are the ones that gave them this. Okay. So, we have had some. What I try and do is when they graduate, I give them a flag, I give them a Jesus film, and I try and give them an easy reading New Testament. So at least leave it there. We start with prayer. We do prayer requests if they have them. They're always happy to have people pray with them. And so we're dealing with a different culture. The Mixtec gal that came wasn't really fluent in Mixtec. And we have a Zapotec gal that comes and she goes to a Pentecostal outfit. So we haven't done too much with some of these pre-literate cultures. But in answer to your question, Alan, I discovered the Mixtecs. I sent to Wycliffe and they said, which type of Mixtec? They said they're between 12 and 60 different dialects. So I went and I asked them, and they gave me one of these unpronounceable names. I said, write it down for me. You know, all those X's and everything. And I mailed it to me, and Wycliffe said, here's the website where you can get it, the whole New Testament oral.
Oh, my.
And I have, I think I still have in this machine right here, the Punjabi New Testament, Hindi New Testament, and the book of, and those are both in, and I have the book of Mark in Mixteco that the people can understand.
How do you give it to them?
What I did was I just played it and I said, can you understand that? And they said, yes, but that's as far as I've gotten. We need, this is the other thing, I need somebody who can compliment me because, you know, my wife's a teacher. She's a great teacher. I love her. But we need somebody who can do these home visits. Who can sit and drink tea and coffee and chocolate, whatever there is. Exactly. Exactly. I mean, we've done some of it, but we need more workers. Go ahead.
Well, in our model that we continue the relationship is to deliver and we foresee, we say that everybody's got something they can give away with without cost and somebody else desperately needs.
Yes.
And you're a perfect example of that.
Exactly.
Now, are most of your teachers...
Uh, we had one that retired. She came to us, but now she's had a change of heart after being with us for 4 years. I think she's going to go back and work. She was a primary school teacher, special ed. Another one was she worked 2 or 3 days a week as a substitute teacher. Another one, we had a former pastor who liked history. And now he's going to be a missionary to Indonesia. He's raised all his support, so he's gone. We had another one who'd been with Book of Hope, young man, just kind of between missions. And he's now in South Africa working at an orphanage. But he was with us for about 6 or 8 months. We had a young lady, and she went off to Dallas to study missions. And then we've got a lady who's what you call a soccer mom. Her daughter's in high school, and she helps us 2 days a week. She likes politics. She's been studying online. So we've had, it's been a really hodgepodge of people. On our new teacher, she was with an outfit in China teaching English, had some health issues and some other things, I can't remember, and so out of ministry, home, but still semi-supported, and she's coming back and helping us. It's and the church secretary that only works part-time at a church, and she has a real checkered history. She's been a stewardess at the airlines. She's worked as an office manager. One time for 3 years, she watched a fancy home up in the Saratoga Hills here for some Saudis. She was the house manager, and they'd show up, you know, 2 or 3 weeks a year, and she would take care of everything. But she's had a real strange job history, and
84
years old. She's
84. Yeah.
Yep.
Still healthy.
Well, she also wandered from the Lord too. Anyway, but it's been a real hodgepodge. So basically, and they come from different churches. I'm active in the Fresno Missions Network. John Dupree, if you know John, he's here. But we have a missions network of missions pastors, and I usually go every month. And yeah, Larry Stuckey helped us for a while, the guy that spoke this morning. So we get all kinds of interesting people. But I would say one thing is try and involve a lot of different churches. You know, involve different pastors, because when you need to recruit, you know. Our first teacher came from a church that I'd never attended. Never, ever. But, you know, God touched her. I knew the pastor. He had a heart for India, the missions pastor, and boom. Okay, recruiting students. We made flyers. And this is our latest edition of our flyer. Bilingual, English and Punjabi. Yeah, this is our third edition. First one was English only, and it didn't take us very long to figure out this was bad. Yeah, you pass it around. And these flyers, we put them everywhere. We pass them out. When we were starting, we went to the Melas. These are big Indian gatherings. Like I say, we went down, 10,000 people. The temple gave us permission to set up a booth for citizenship and English classes. And so away we went. And we recruited people here. This is a South Indian friend. This is another mela. This was a dance mela, midsummer. And she's a Telugu friend who was helped us recruit. She's a strong Christian. And also, we discovered that most of the temples have bulletin boards. where you can put up public service announcements. You can even put up your restaurant there in our area. And so every so often I go around and put them up there. Also, we have only one radio station in town that broadcasts in Punjabi. We had a program there for a while, and that was a real interesting thing. It finally died after 4 years. But through that, I got to know the Punjabi broadcasters, and they plugged us. You know, the ethnic radio stations. So there's a lot of things. And find out how it works. In our area, you put up signs in the ethnic grocery stores. And once you get it going, as you know, in these immigrant communities, once you get a track record, people tell their friends. And we had one lady come to us, and I said, "Why are you here?" And she says, "Rama Dawar sent me." And she says, "I paid that guy $1,500, and I flunked the test twice."
Oh, my.
She paid $1,500 for her citizenship classes. And she is very angry. And she is not a very good learner. I got to sit on her and tell her to shut up. She works at Subway. She loves to talk. And I have to say, Lox Winder, you got to be quiet. And we can get her through, but it's going to take some time. And I think she begins to realize that. But it class management is very different with adults.
So how long would you say? Is it usually a year from the time you start with them to the time they are? Have you kind of seen a little bit of a time frame?
No. Some people, we had one lady come to us. True story. "Why are you here? I took my test on Monday and I flunked. I passed the 100 questions. I passed the reading. I passed the writing. But my speaking." And luckily, where we are, it takes about 3 months. And 3 months, she passed. As a matter of fact, I even got her picture here. Oh, yeah. I got her picture. No, just being there with the rest of us. Where is she? Yeah. Oh, come on. Okay, anyway. So her husband thinks, you know, we are wonderful. And why didn't she learn? Because she has two small children, including Jaspreet, the two-year-old that came to class with her and would say, "No! No!" as a two-year-old would say. Anyway, so right now we usually have a couple of months. But like my wife said, when they finish, that's usually it. We go to the ceremony, we take a big picture. I'll see if I can find her picture. Yeah. And then I take the picture around, give them the Bible, the Jesus film. Oh, one lady said about the Jesus film. She said, "Oh, man, that Jesus, you know, he was tortured. That was bad." She said, "It reminded me of Guru Gobind Singh." And that gives you an idea about how much cultural distance there is. There's a lot of cultural distance. And it's not easy to bridge that. Let's see, what else we got? Ah, yes. This is about our last one. Yes. In our area, about 90% of the Punjabis are Sikhs. We do get some Hindi speakers coming through. Yesterday was kind of interesting because we had three Hindus. Now one is a Punjabi speaker, but the other two are Hindi speakers. So we do have a few Hindi speaking people in our area. And evangelism. Every once in a while there's an event. I can't take credit for this. This was done by a church near us. They put on a dinner. and they brought in some Punjabi-speaking people, and this lady was actually the translator. She's a Punjabi, and she has this dress that just glitters all over everywhere. You know, you can't see it. And she was explaining, this is the lady that had cancer, and she still wears the little thing because her hair fell out. Although now it's about, what is it, this long? She showed us the other day. And this is her father, who doesn't really speak any English. And so he's heard the gospel a number of times. And that's all we can say. Yeah.
But the kids are still saying that Jesus heals me. Or somebody said, Nelly, no. I said, I did not take any credit for it. Jesus is the one that heals you. And then she said, I'm glad that I, when I die, I don't have to be like a bird. And I mean, the
But she still does her puja every morning. Every morning. Punjabis and Hindus also have a ritual they go through every morning. And we call it their pujas. Anyway, general questions.
Well, I'm fascinated. What if someone does want to follow Christ? What do you do with them in order to disciple
okay.
them?
Well, the Southern Baptists actually brought in a man that speaks Hindi. He's a Hindi speaker and he speaks Punjabi.
Okay.
And he is trying to plant a church there. We were working with him, but we haven't seen him for a while. But yeah, that is our hope. We do have some friends from South India that can speak a little bit of Hindi. Brother Wilson Kapula was basically our mentor in that we started English. And then Wilson said, oh, don't do English, do citizenship. So we did both. But yes, we'd love to have that problem. Because the number of Punjabis that are Christian in our area may be... Well, I would say, if we went, say, from... Let's say from Merced down to Bakersfield, maybe 20? Yeah. And you're talking about at least 40,000 people. At least 40,000 people. Yeah.
Because of the Sikh's history of they're on the forefront in between Islam and the Hindus, and so they're monotheistic, but they've got reincarnation.
Yes.
So they're kind of a mixture, but neither.
Yes.
Probably persecuted from both sides.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Definitely. Definitely. Every year they have a celebration of the persecution. And we went one time where they had pictures of the different martyrs. And they have calendars with the martyrs. And they include those two guys that assassinated Indira Gandhi. They don't forget the Golden Temple massacre. We have some that are on political asylum. We've had students that were tortured by the police. And separatists, number of separatists, they call themselves, they refer to Sikhistan or they call it Khalistan. And They're very political, and part of their nationalism revolves around their religion. It's all wound together. And the persecution and the wars against the British and the Mughals, yeah.
Could you run a program like this without being directly tied to an ESL program? Could this be freestanding?
Sure.
What would be the nuance?
It's nice to have the English components, although when people come for citizenship, they always think they know enough. So you've got to kind of roll it in there. We had a lady yesterday come, and she's supposed to be in the citizenship, but she says, I want to do English today. So she walked over to my wife. We're in one multi-purpose room at that church. And so my wife's over here, and I'm over there. And
because it's adult education?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you bring kids, you know, well, you put some toys there and keep them quiet.
They would come for you and say, oh, I want to do citizenship.
Yeah.
Because they want to become citizens.
Yeah. So you can do citizenship by itself, yeah. And I would say look at some of that new reader stuff.
So are you trying to bring them through from lesson 1 to lesson 26? Are you constantly recycling through 20 or X number of lessons, or part of the lesson this week and part of the lesson this lesson the same week?
Okay. Yeah, it's non-formal education, and unfortunately, we not only cycle, sometimes we have to have 3 or 4 lesson plans in mind, which means I've got to have photocopied enough materials or have materials ready, because I show up, I'm all ready to do citizenship, but today it's beginning literacy because my citizenship people decide not to come. And so, yeah, or sometimes, you know, if so-and-so has their test, we've got to focus on that. So whatever so-and-so needs, if they need writing, we're all going to do practice dictation. Now, I've got a whole lot of stuff on my website, and I can email you more stuff. There's my email.
One time I have like 18, varieties levels. So I would just assign different things to different groups. And, thinking that they won't do it by themselves, but it doesn't work out.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to be creative. Yeah. Think about pair activities, all kinds of interesting things. But yes, to start something like this, cost practically zero. If you've got a place at a church, and I've got my own projector, which I run off this. This is their machine. But I picked up a projector. You can pick them up for as little as $500 now. Yeah. But the problem is the new laptops don't run the old style plugs. The old style plugs were like a monitor plug. The new ones are all HD plugs. Yeah. And this is even an older machine, because look at this. You've got here the old video there, the three colors, RCA. But I use a lot of PowerPoint. And last year I had 500,000 hits on my websites.
Wow.
Yeah. So my PowerPoint for Martin Luther King Day, I had 900 downloads. I have to check that one. So I'm generating a lot of stuff. I don't collect any money. I just finance it myself. Yeah. But...
So could you make that available to others who want to?
Sure.
Yeah,
uscitizenshipteachers.org. Yeah. And here's one thing. Yeah. One thing I discovered is, why do elementary school teachers follow the holidays? Because it's a natural progression. And so I've got 100 questions, and then we try and weave in other things. But for instance, all right, Martin Luther King Day, that's one question. What did Martin Luther King do? And then there's one about what movement tried to end racial discrimination. So there's only 2 questions there. But you can wind in other things. Wind in other things. And I've tried to create materials that go along with it, matching, expanding the vocabulary a little bit. Yeah.
That's why those government citizenship lessons are
right.
Good, because every lesson they do picks up all the questions that go
yeah.
with that lesson, so you're teaching that. And
well, have you ever met Donna? Donna Vanderhoff is the one that produces those. She is an incredible person.
The
training?
Training.
Yeah, she's the big lady.
I think I've met that.
Yeah, well, they've got a couple other juniors that pinch hit with her, but she's the one that created. She started, with a piece of plywood in a refugee camp in Thailand.
Wow.
Yeah. And so she knows how to create all kinds of things, and she is just... Yeah, then she moved over. She's been in Indonesia. But she is an incredibly creative person, and she loves, because she's government, she has access to Library of Congress. And so she tries to put great illustrations on there from Library of Congress. And she works really hard, and she cannot plug my site at all, because she's government. Yeah. I wrote to her and I said, why don't you guys buy my site for a dollar? But I know they won't do it because I've used stuff off the web. You know, did you get permission for this picture of Martin Luther King with the Nobel Prize? No, I was just there. I just grabbed it.
Oh.
You know. Actually, it...
So we got another book about Martin Luther King and... what he got from the website
were
exactly from the book.
Well, it actually comes under the Fair Use Clause. But you've got to understand, the immigration people really get uptight. When Donna produces a lesson, it goes to the lawyers for about 6 months to make sure she didn't say anything bad.
Oh, my.
Yeah. I mean, we met her several times, so... other questions? Okay. Okay, let me just kind of wind up. It's a tremendous way to build bridges. But you've got to get past just teaching and past, you know, just being a helper. So it's kind of an on-ramp to friendship evangelism, which means you're there for the long haul. I mean, we're talking about years. And one of the problems with citizenship is they come in, they're excited, and then they're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas English is more long-term.
Right.
More long-term if they will stay with you. Night classes work very well, but we started with mornings. One interesting thing is mornings, late mornings and early afternoons are incredible for housewives. And we're empowering women. So.
I only have four guys so far in the English class. But.
this is the day.
Well, afternoon.
Afternoon.
Or afternoon. Oh, that's 1:30.
Not 1:30.
Yeah.
But then three drop, and so only have one husband.
Yeah. 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 And.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes people ask us for other hours. If you would like to correspond with me, there's the information.